We have choices when it comes to what we love, what we pursue. When it comes to what we love, what we pursue, we cannot equally love everything the same. There are trade-offs. If you love one thing, it means that you're going to love something a little less. This is true when it comes to money. Usually the trade-off when it comes to money is relationships. You can love and pursue money, milk it, and squeeze it, but that might very well mean that a relationship suffers. In order to get more money out of a person, you kind of have to abuse them. Or at least there's no good deal for them. A good deal for them is a bad deal for you if your goal is to get as much money as you can. This is why people often prefer to make deals with strangers. You can treat strangers however you want. You probably won't see them again or have to deal with them again. If they end up dissatisfied, well, oh well. Buyer beware, a deal's a deal, etc. If you rip somebody off you know, then you might be confronted by that over and over, and that's no good. The other party might be angry or disappointed. So if you want to maximize your profits, it's best to deal with strangers so that you can squeeze as much as you can out of them. Getting as much as you can for yourself is one of those things that's hardwired into us. We want it. Getting the most for as little as possible is good business sense, so that's good. More than that, it's the correct thing to do, almost, you know. It's even the moral thing. This is similar to another thing that's hardwired into us. Love your enemies, or love your friends, and hate your enemies. If somebody treats you badly, well, then give them hell. If they punch you, then you punch them right back and make sure that your punch back is a whole lot harder than the one that they hit you with. But you know what Jesus tells us. He says, love your enemies. If they strike you on the one cheek, turn so that they may strike you on the other. Do not return evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. Jesus overturns the morality that seems to be hardwired into us to hate our enemies. And the same thing is true with our dealings with money. It's hardwired into us to get as much as we can for ourselves. There's nothing wrong with raking it in so long as whatever you're doing is legal. Everybody has to fend for themselves. And if you happen to fend better than others, well, then so be it. You're probably just one of those superior human beings. That's a common assumption, you know. The more money you have, the more superior of a human being you must be. To that assumption, we might respond with what Jesus says in our gospel reading. What is highly regarded among people is an abomination before God. An abomination is something that is totally disgusting. People highly regard power, pride, wealth, self-sufficiency. People believe that the more money and resources you have, the better off you are. And this kind of thinking is disgusting in God's sight. True greatness is not being rich or powerful or famous. True greatness is following after God's Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Isn't greatness what everybody ultimately wants? Isn't greatness what the world highly regards and chases after? This is why you have to smack down your enemies and cheat whomever you can. That's how you get ahead. Less for others means more for you. But this too, Jesus turns on its head. One time, Jesus overheard his disciples arguing, and he asked them, "What were you arguing about?" And they wouldn't answer him because they were embarrassed. They had been arguing over which of them is the greatest. So Jesus called them together and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he will be last of all and the servant of all." And then Jesus took a little child and placed the child in the midst of them, and taking the child into his arms, Jesus said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not just me, but also him who sent me, the Father." Now, this is so contrary to the way that we think, that it's very easy for people to scoff at this, scoff at Jesus, as though he were the greatest of all possible fools. Note, actually, that this is what the Pharisees did to Jesus in our gospel reading when he was done talking about money. They scoffed at him. What a fool. The ways of Jesus are so contrary to how we normally think. Who's the greatest, according to who we normally think? Folks might answer, Muhammad Ali, Bill Gates, Donald Trump, Michael Phelps. How do you get to be the greatest? Well, to be the greatest, you have to ruthlessly, relentlessly serve yourself. Cultivate your talents. Cultivate and hone your strengths. Get rid of your weaknesses. You're the project. How different is Jesus' answer? If anyone wants to be first, he will be last of all and the servant of all. Then, so that we wouldn't miss the point, he picked out some random kid. You should serve this random, powerless, favorless kid. This kid can't do anything for you. He can't make you rich. He can't pay you back. He can't make you famous. The uncouth kid might not even have good manners to say thank you. That's the one whom you should serve. If you want to be great, if you want to be first, then you must become last and the servant of all. Who ever heard of a servant or a slave being great? That's the opposite of what we think of as being great. The one who is great has everybody serving them, not the other way around. But as Jesus said, what is highly regarded in people's sight is an abomination in God's sight. Being a servant or a slave is the worst in our books. But think of what Jesus is like. He did not come to lord it over everybody else, even though he is Lord of lords and King of kings. He certainly had the right and the ability. But instead, he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Those who would be great will follow after this greatest one. The way that Jesus was great was with love. Jesus loved. God is love. Heaven is love. Hell is absent of love. Hell has plenty of greatness in it. So many of this world's greatest end up there. Lots of rich people go there. Lots of powerful people go there. And these folks knew how to get ahead. And you can be sure that they haven't changed a bit. You can be sure that the inhabitants of hell guard their interests down to the very last penny. They'll slit your throat. You're not looking. You might very well find a lot of greatness in hell. What you won't find there is love. So we need to promote love as Christians. Nobody else is going to do it, I can assure you. Everybody else thinks that love won't work. For example, loving your enemies. They say loving your enemies is psychologically damaging. Or being generous. Being generous with your buying and selling will make you poor. And poor people are the worst. They are so miserable. Or serving others. Serving others is the surest way to be miserable and unhappy. It sounds like suffering to me. These contradictions of Jesus' teachings can sound right and quite plausible. It sounds like love, service, sacrifice, and suffering are the problem and not the solution. Isn't that just like the devil? Make sure that what God has said sounds hateful, bad, sinister, no good. That's how his speech sounded way back when, to Adam and Eve, too. Love is not the problem. Love is what saves the world. God is love. Jesus' life was love, by which he justified sinners by taking our place. His life continues to be love. The healing that we all need so badly is not going to come from more money and more goods. It's not going to come from a battle between the sexes. It's not going to come from loosening all the limits and letting everybody go wild with whatever trips their triggers. Healing comes with love. Service, sacrifice, and suffering for one another. Think of that wild jungle that's called our schools. Kids are so unbelievably mean to each other that the scars of being picked on can last a lifetime. What if kids would love the least in their midst? And that takes courage. Because standing up for the least can make you a target, how beneficial and Christ-like would it be for young Christians to step in and not let somebody get absolutely thrashed in their soul? And let's not be Pollyanna-ish about this. There will be a cost. Standing up and helping the least will make the bullies come after you. And then they'll come after you like Goliath, the giant. But if you put your trust in the Lord, you'll be all right, even if you do end up with some bruises. Or what if we loved more in the workplace? Workers won't work unless they're compelled to work. They won't go the extra mile, and employers don't care about their workers. They pay them as little as they possibly can. Everybody, bosses and workers, look only to their own interests as they each in their own way are trying to be great. What a difference it would make to love your boss and for the boss to love you. Satisfaction in the workplace does not come from how much money you get paid. Satisfaction is from the love that's there. And what of love in the home? What if you set aside your pride and made it your goal to do what is pleasing to God, serving the others who share your home? Jesus says that we should serve a little child. How much more then should you serve the one who is not a child, but with whom you are one flesh? And you know the little tricks and the snide comments and backhanded ways that you can drive each other up the wall. And those barbs and those punches that you give, they give you some kind of evil satisfaction because, after all, they hit you So why shouldn't you hit them back? Well, what if you didn't hit them back? In all these most important areas of our life, you always have a choice. You can serve yourself, or you can serve God. But you can't serve both, because you're always going to prefer one over the other. And let me tell you which one you naturally prefer. The easier way is always to serve yourself rather than serving God. We do not by nature like to serve or sacrifice or suffer. That is to say, by nature, we do not love. But you have been brought out of the realm of darkness and into God's marvelous light. You have learned what is truly great, what is truly beneficial, what truly heals. You even know the amazing secret by which evil has been conquered. How has evil, all evil, been conquered? It has been conquered and defeated by love. God is love. And we love because he first loved us. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.